Welcome to the GameDev.tv Community Podcast. I'm your host, KB, and I would like to introduce you to industry professionals and people who successfully made their path to the video game industry. I hope that you will enjoy the podcast and get useful tips that will bring you closer to achieving your dreams. Now, let's get right into the podcast.
All right, so this is the Next Gen Revolution podcast. We like to ask, you know, CEOs, actors, actresses, AI programmers, everyone around the world, how they got to where they are, how they like, why they grow, what they do with their life. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what have you been up to? Like, let the fans know a little bit about who you are, what you've been up to, what's going on, and then we'll go from there.
Well, let's see. Well, I'm my name is Chris. I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor. I teach full-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I used to have my own studio to where I was teaching out of my own school, my own gig, and then the UFC came around and pretty much bought me out, picked me up, and I handed over my school to one of my students who's running it very successfully still, and I now work for the UFC where I manage the branch out here in Hawaii, and I'm the official title would be the head BJJ instructor and also MMA manager of the gym. And besides that, you know, jiu-jitsu is kind of like my life. Outside of that, I got my family, I got my surfing, I got it's a good life out here, man.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. That's what most people are trying to achieve, right? A good life, doing what they love, having a family. So how did you get to where you are? It's like, when did you fall in love with jiu-jitsu? Was that something like really young, or is that later in life?
Oh man, so I was one of those kids that did martial arts from very young age. I was that little karate kid, didn't know his left foot from his right hand. I had no idea what to do. You know,
I was like, I got you.
I was a little karate kid that switched to taekwondo. Taekwondo switched to this martial art, to that martial art, and you bounce around little by little. And I want to say, I got into maybe a real altercation probably around the high school ages, and that's where you realize all that little, you know, fun stuff that we did prior doesn't truly translate to real world. Like, if I can break a brick, if I can chop a board in half, cool deal, you know, you get your yellow belt, this and that. But when there's a big dude really jumping on you and really trying to hurt you, it changes things, you know. The choreographed katas, nothing against the other martial arts, but when it comes to real life, that's when things change. So that's when I started to branch out into other things like Muay Thai, wrestling, and, you know, like other things that were more applicable, more hands-on. And I want to say 2005 was got to be the most memorable moment for me in my career as far as jiu-jitsu goes, because 2005, I was probably 210 pounds, maybe give or take, half muscle, half fat, you know, thinking I'm king of the world. I've trained all these different martial arts. I'm king shit. Nobody can touch me. And I meet this guy, and who's my instructor still today. I met this guy half my size. He pulls up in a purple Miata. He's carrying a Chihuahua under his arm. He's got a pink polo shirt with plaid shorts tucked in. This goofy, goofy kid. And older, you know, kind of, you know, just an older Chinese guy with this little Chihuahua in his arm. He's like, oh, if you ever want to spar sometime, I have my own studio. And I was looking at this guy like, bro, I will just eat you up. Like, I'll do it one-handed. I'll beat you like there's no deal. Yeah. So I go to his place thinking I'm king shit. I go over there and he Brazilian jiu-jitsu's the hell out of me. And that was like one of those eye-opening moments where it's like, okay, wait a minute. You didn't even try and you just were kicking my ass. And I'm over here really giving it my all. And I had nothing to give to this guy. No matter what I did, he would take me down, pretzel me up, turn me into some crazy painful position. And then I was like, after a couple of rounds of that, I was like, okay, stop. What is that? What are you doing? And will you teach me? And that was the moment where I was like, okay, this I have to learn. And that was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He took me under his wing, and we're at about 15 years later. I still view him as my mentor, as my instructor. He took me through many different schools, many different seminars, many different academies, and I'm still but that 2005 was when it got serious. Before that, you know, you watch some UFC, you go out with your friends and you're like, hey, I can do an arm bar, I can do a this. And you think,
oh, yeah, no big deal.
And you have no idea what you're doing. And yeah, 2005, that guy gave it to me. And that's when everything changed. I was like, okay, I need to learn this.
Wow. So 2005. Okay. So then 2005, you started just going to find like the best BJJ trainers and we're like, hey, I'm going to learn jiu-jitsu. And then what was that process like? For instance, if somebody was trying to start jiu-jitsu, how can you get from like, I don't know anything to at least like a blue belt? Like, what should they focus on? What should they, their regimen be?
My biggest tip for anyone that's in the beginning stages is you've got to find a place and a person, the instructor and the school, that you are comfortable in, that is a good learning environment, and that you're happy. And my whole thing is happiness, man. I'm such an advocate for a happy life, you know? So if you go to a school and they're very bow to me, I'm your master, yes, sir, man, I have another, you push it, and, you know, pain is weakness leaving the body, these kind of schools, you know?
Oh, yes. Cool. It's crazy.
They're out there. And to each their own, you know, but for me personally, my biggest thing is I found a guy who, as I'm getting my ass kicked, we're laughing. As I'm getting beaten the hell out of me, this is funny and this is bad. It's badass and it's funny at the same time. I can learn better when you're having a good time. If someone's drill sergeant style, I feel, you know, nervous, anxiety. Am I doing okay? Am I going to make my instructor upset? Versus like, if you can just find somebody who does it carelessly and just is... and it's just can do it in a fun manner. Yeah. And that's how the best learning kind of goes. So that's what I would say is if you can find a place, and it takes time because there are schools out there that you think are the thing. Like, for example, I'll use everyone knows who Mike Tyson is. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, and I never met Mike Tyson. I don't know anything about him, so I don't want to just to come off the wrong way. But let's just say you go to Mike Tyson's boxing gym because he's Mike Tyson. He's the baddest boxer
that's
in the
true,
world.
That's true, yeah.
Mike Tyson. Come to find out, everyone in his gym is out for blood. All they want to do is hurt each other. Mike Tyson is actually a great boxer, but a horrible teacher. He can't teach anyone.
You know, that's so the key.
So I'm at Mike Tyson's boxing gym, and it sucks. Versus I go to Bob Joe's, you know, hole in the wall, and man, this guy knows his footwork. He knows his handwork. The students he has are great people. They're there to – they would give you the shirt off their back if you needed it. I would rather train there than the big name – place. And that's just what my two cents, and that's what I found was my guy hole in the wall, you know, none of the walls matched the paint, the mats were falling apart. You know, there was, it was just a hole in the wall, and man, that was my savior, that place. I found that place and I trained with the Gracies. Luckily the Gracie family, Helson Gracie lives on island, and I trained with him for years. Alliance is out here, Gracie Baja is out here, we have Atos is out here. We've got some really big name places, and nothing against all of them, but just me personally, I found my peace with a guy that just took me under his wing and just trained me and made my life better, regardless of his flag, his title, what color, you know, he hates his school. It doesn't matter any of that. I want to just learn the art, and that's what he gave me.
Wow. See, that's beautiful, because it's just like in the simplicity of life, like where something isn't like glorified, oh my gosh, the most famous person in the world, is where you find the most like authentic, genuine power. Like there is this beautifulness in the simple jiu-jitsu gym. It's like, hey, this place maybe doesn't have the best walls or whatever, but hey, they teach it properly, I'm happy. Life is good. And that's life. It's like, we don't need to be like the movies where everything is pristine. Everybody's makeup's perfect. Everybody's hair is perfect. No, we're just learning jiu-jitsu. We're doing it what we got. And that's all that matters. And I love that. And that's where I met you too, right? Jacksonville, jiu-jitsu with Daryl. I met you there. It wasn't the best gym in the world, but it was something where everybody was having a good time just learning how to do jiu-jitsu. That's beautiful. And I love that.
Well, so here, let's put that into perspective. So when I met you, I was still a brown belt at the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And to make that even more awkward, I'm going to a place, Daryl's, who was a purple belt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So in Jacksonville, Florida, there's a handful of good schools out there. There's some really good schools, great instructors. But out of all the black belts, out of all of the different brands and places that were out there, I found myself going to Daryl, who's underranked me. He's a purple belt. I'm a brown belt at the time. His school is smaller. He's less of a rank, but man, he was there for the right reasons. He was there to teach, and he was there to not just share the knowledge, but if you had knowledge to return, he was very accepting. Some instructors, they're very like, I know it all. You're a student. You don't talk back to me. I know it all. And, you know, Mr. Brown, Daryl, he was just, he was exactly what my instructor reminded me of, was like, I just love jiu-jitsu as much as you do. If we can share knowledge, let's share knowledge. I don't care what rank you are. I don't care what flag you fly. I don't care the politics of jiu-jitsu. I just want to train. And I was like, boom, I'm in. I like this guy.
No, Daryl was a great guy. He cared about you actually learning jujitsu and learning to survive in life. Like, regardless of anything that's ever happened, it's like that's all that mattered to him. And we learned that. And like, I went to go do tournaments, and at that time, I was very like not confident in my abilities or very shy person. And he helped me, but go out there and do tournaments and be like, oh, actually, I'm pretty good at this. Like, or like, it's not that scary to go out there and try to like test your abilities. So I'm glad you said that, because for people listening, like maybe if they're not jiu-jitsu or not, it's always good to go and find that one person who's just like out of the what's it called, the needle in the haystack. That one person who's just like, hey, they cared about you. Let's learn about these abilities and let's go test it out. Let's go find out what we're capable of and then let's go learn from there. Because again, you said he was lower ranked. So it's like now after that, now you're a black belt. It's like you learned from him and went out there and do great things. And so like, how do we go from like brown belt to like black belt? Like, what did you take from him? And then how did you use that to put yourself in the position you have now?
You know, it's the mindset. It's the openness that I learn from everyone I meet. So if there's a white belt, a blue belt, it doesn't matter to me about your belt. It doesn't matter about the rank. I'm here to learn. I'm a student of the art. And if there's some white belt, for me to discredit him because of the color of his belt, maybe this guy's a four-time collegiate wrestler, you know, Olympic judo champion. Mm. I don't know what your background is. Maybe you're just a good guy. And I just, you know, want to surround myself with good people, things like that. So if I can share some knowledge with you, and then maybe as a white belt who doesn't know the technique of jiu-jitsu, you just pulled something out of your ass that just I've never seen before. So most people go right, and for some reason you went left. I've never seen that, and it seemed to work. I was impressed. And you're, you know, an under rank, whatever. I'm here to learn. I'm take the ego. Like a lot of schools say it, leave your ego at the door, but a lot of them say it without truly believing in it. So when I meet somebody, I'm full hands open. Now there is, you know, fine lines with that. A lot of people who say one thing are another, this and that. So you got to feel it out. And that's why I like jumping around to schools and, you know, getting your own thing. So like the original question is like, how do you get started here? Is I like to just do the free trials. Most jiu-jitsu gyms have a free week, free trial, whatever. Do all of them. So like, even though I found Daryl, he was a great guy, I still went to the guy down the street, a guy down the block, a guy across the highway. I still went everywhere just to compare and just to compare notes. And then sometimes a week trial should be good enough, but sometimes you go and everyone has a bad day. I get it. So maybe you went on the one bad day and you're thinking to yourself, oh, this instructor is just not it. Everyone has a bad day. So go the week. Maybe tomorrow he's a whole other guy. Maybe he's going through something outside of the gym. You never know. So give yourself a week here, learn the students. Maybe the one night you went was killer night and the other nights are just, you know, all
top
great guys. So it's all about, you know, the environment and the vibe. So yeah, you just got to get the right people around you. And then no matter what belt, no matter what rank, you're there to learn. So if they have something to offer, learn it.
Mm-hmm. So now you say like, maybe there's something good about them and find the right people. How do you know if they're the right people or not?
Because sometimes, that's appealing, man.
Yeah, it's like some people have shown you they're good at the first like interaction, but then later on, they're like, they're really the most devious or manipulative. It's like, how do you know when they're the right?
It happens. And unfortunately, sometimes they're good at hiding who they really are. So it's a game, but it happens. So you just, you know, you're there for your reasons. You come across somebody that is there for the right reasons. And then next week, 6 months, 2 years later, you find out, hey, this person isn't who I really thought they were. And you're not locked. Yeah, I'm not marrying anybody. I'm not locked into anything. If somebody turns out to be something I didn't think it was, that's all good, man. It's no worries. Just, you know, you go your path, I'll go mine, and it's all good. No worries.
Mm-hmm. No worries. So we got another co-host, Malachi, joining in a little bit late, but yeah, so we were just talking about Chris, about like how he started jiu-jitsu, finding the right people, finding the right dojo where it's like, it doesn't always have to be, you know, pristine, clean, magical, movie-like. It's got to just be something that actually offers something to help you learn to grow your journey. And so, yeah. And so let's dive deep into how you actually learn the techniques you learn. So like what advice would you give to the jiu-jitsu students who are white belts who want to get to like the blue belt? Like how should they practice every day? Should it be like 2 hours every week? What techniques should they learn? Like what's your advice for people trying to improve?
You got to listen to your body. So the main thing is you got to listen to your body, because there's not a secret science for every single person. So some people are natural athletes. Some people have never trained a physical sport in their entire life. And this is they're trying something new. So for me to say, 2 days a week, 4 hours, whatever. It's unrealistic. So you got to listen to your body. If you're a natural athlete, you're going to put in 20 hours a week and you'll be fine. You put grandma 20 hours a week and grandma's going to die, you know? So it's like,
exactly.
There's no science to it. It's you got to listen to your body. Now, the majority of it is yourself. You got to know yourself. You got to know your body. You got to know your limits. Now, the other side of it is you got to trust your coach. Because if your coach is telling you, no, I know you got one more in you, you can do this, I know you can do it, they see something in you and they believe it in you. Now, again, you got to trust them. So if you chose a coach who's just out for blood and they just want to see you die, that's one thing. But if you're there for a coach that really believes in your development, your growth, I trust them. So even though inside me, I'll be getting ready for an event of whatever sort, and I'm just dead. There's nothing left in me. And my coach is like, one more round. And I'm looking at him like, I can't even stand up right now. And you want me to go another round? Like, my legs don't even work, but he knows me so well. And he's one, just give me one more round. Then you can go die in the corner or whatever. And I was like, you know what? You're my coach. I'm going to listen to you. And damn sure that one last round, I didn't believe in myself, but he did. And that's the kind of stuff you need to look for, is you got to have someone else believe in you just as much as you believe in yourself. If not more.
That's just a really good point. Cause it's like, we all have limits, right? But sometimes we're capable of more than what we're capable of doing, but we don't believe we can get that extra mile until someone says we can't. Like, we're doing push-ups, it's like, oh, okay, we're doing 10, and someone says you can do 12, and it's like, I didn't believe I can, but they believe I can, and you do 12. And it's like, why do you this is more just like a question, a skeptical belief, why do you think we're limiting ourselves when really we can do more? Like, what do you, is it because we're lazy, because we're like, what do you think? From your perspective, what do you think?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that maybe you yourself have never been to that limit before. So I've done 20 push-ups in my life. I can do 20 push-ups and knock it out without a problem. I'll do 20 all day long. But I've never myself done 50 push-ups ever.
Yeah.
So how do I know? So when I hit my 20, my brain auto-triggers and my brain is like, we're done. I'm done.
Exactly, yeah.
But I've never done more. This is all just an example, right? So I've never done more, but my coach sees that in my 20, obviously I had 10 more in the bank. Obviously. Why would I not pull that out? Just because I hit my max? Like, no, that's PRs exist for a reason. Your personal records exist for a reason. So that's why you need a good coach that believes in you and can push you further. Now, if I did my 20 and my arms are just shaking and I'm dying and I'm like, I threw up twice on myself and my coach is like, I want 200 more. Then, okay, unrealistic, right? But
yeah.
you gotta kind of take it with a thing. And a lot of times a coach will give you things that they know you can't hit. But if I say, give me 10 more, just because I knew you could pull out two more, I got two more out of you. Right. So, I mean, exactly. There's a fine line.
Yeah, no, it's true. Cause 200 is too unrealistic, but like 10 more, it's like, you don't know where your limits are. You thought it was 20 because your limit was 20, maybe a year ago, but why stop there? Why not 30? Cause I think we get complacent, right? Like, so it's like, for a while, you're like, okay, I'm comfortable with, I try to get to 30, I made it, cool, and then now 30 is my goal. But some people, their personality is like, I'm going to go 40, 50, 60, but some just stay there. And so it's like, you need that coach or someone to say, hey, look, you made it to 30. Why not 40, 50? And you're like, you're right. Let me keep going. And so that's how we just keep improving. Now, I have this question. It's like, do we always need to keep improving? Like, why do we grow? Like, what is your opinion? Like, why grow? Why keep improving? Why do the things we do?
Well, so that's a taboo topic, because there are people that are just built to always grow, always, and more power to them. You know, me personally, and this is kind of an interesting thing, me personally, you got to find balance. I'm a huge advocate of balance. So with that said, I make X amount of money now. I could make more.
Yeah.
Right. I surf this many days a week. I could do more. I do this, whatever. There's always more. There's always more.
True.
But at what point are you, again, life is all about happiness. So at what point are you happy with where you're at and you can balance your life where it is? Because if I make more money, that would require me to be less time with my family because I'm at work more, things like that. So now the balance where it's like, I could make more money. I really could. But now my child sees me less. My wife sees me less. My other things. Or you know what? I want to be the best father figure, best husband. So I spend all my time with them. Now I'm not making any money. And now there's balance. So at what point is more enough? That's a real personal question, because you know that's all into you and your heart. At what point do you wake up and you're like, you can look around, you can smell the air, you can feel your environment. And you're like, I am truly happy. And to me, that's good. I could make more money. I could, you know, do this. I could do that. But if I'm truly happy, in my soul happy, I'm there. I got it. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. That's really it, right? Like, we've gotten to a point now in human civilization where it's like, just being happy is the gift. Like, there's no need to be the greatest, you know, jiu-jitsu person in the world. Like, I just am good at what I do. I have a family and I'm happy. Like, I think a part of, like, maybe the cons of self-development is like, there gets a point where it's like, you've reached it. There is no need to do more. And if you do more, sure, you can. Like you said, there's more. There's always more. Always. But, like, why is this not just it? Like, why can't I just be here? And then continuing to improve is sure, and, like, be better, but, like, not change what I have. Like, why do I always have to grow? Like, because to be honest, with all our past episodes, it's always been like, this is why I grow, this is what I do. But for you, it's saying, like, this is it. It's kind of like maybe the conclusion of our growth series was like, okay, we've grown enough. Now let's just maintain it. Let's keep it growing and maybe keep improving as a person, but no need to grow to exceed what we've done. And so I want to ask this, like, how do you maintain that? Like, how do you maintain a lifestyle where you've made it? You've done it. You've lived your dreams. You've got your goal. How do you maintain that?
Oh, well, I think once you're at the point where maintenance becomes your lifestyle, that would be my level of attainment, because my maintenance is not a stressful maintenance. I'm living my life to where this just makes sense. My bills are all paid. There's money in the bank. There's a roof over my head. There's food on the table. I'm doing what I love to do daily. Then there you are. But if it's, so let me take a little step back here. Something triggered in my life, and I want to say it was around early 30s, maybe like mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s, somewhere in my life here. I'm 40 now, by the way. There's two facts that I really grasped in life. One, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's beaten that fact. It's a fact of life. This is whatever we're doing right now is all going to end. There's an end to it. So there's fact one, we're going to die, plain and simple. It's a fact. Some people don't want to believe it, or some people think it's never going to happen to them, or it's going to happen when I'm 100, but whatever. So just know it's a fact. The fact is, you're going to die. The second fact that really grabbed home was that nobody truly knows when.
That's a big one.
So think about this. As soon as we hang up this call, I get in my car to go get some lunch somewhere, and I get in a car accident and die. That's it. I had no plan of that. That wasn't part of my plan. If I find out I have cancer and I'm going down or whatever it is, I planned on making it to 100, but here I am at 40. I got in some random accident and I'm dead. So the two facts that I really sink home is, one, we're going to die. Two, you have no idea when. So with that in mind, with that truly in mind, what are you doing with your life? What the time that we do have while we're still alive, why am I not happy? Why am I not doing what makes me happy? Why am I not fulfilling whatever goals I have? Why? This is it. I don't know when the end is, but there is an end. So we need to make this happen. If I'm over here like, I'll get to it later and I'll be happy when I retire, why not happy now? What are you waiting for? You're going to die. What are you waiting for?
That's so beautifully said. What are we waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Exactly. It's like,
you want that? Go get it.
So, like, as I dive deep more and I talk to more people, I've realized that, like, self-help helps you get started, right? Like, real self-help books, cool and all. But there comes a point when it's, like, there is an end, and they don't really teach you that. And so, like, when you start to, like, for now, I do game development, and I try to make games and stuff. I don't need any more, like, oh, motivation stuff. No, it's more just, like, learning the skills and stuff like that. But there it comes a point where it's, like, this is it. Like, I've made it. And I don't need more. I'm just happy doing what I'm doing. I'm living my life. I have my friends and family. And, like, you get told, oh, you got to be popular. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's like, if it comes from what I'm doing that makes me happy, then great. But if I don't need to go and build something that I don't need, like I've seen celebrities who have, like, paparazzi follow them. And they're like, my life, I wish I was just, like, simple and didn't know anybody and nobody was following me around. It's like, you don't know what's on the other side of the grass is greener, as they say. You don't know what's on the side of the grass. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if maybe, oh, I made it all, I have all this money and stuff, but, like, where's your family? They're like, you're gone anymore. Like, oh, like, you don't want to hear the comments. Hey, where are you anymore? Like, I don't see you anymore. You're not this anymore. You're not the same person. And then you start to think yourself as like, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm changed. So it's like, you really make these like important points where it's like, you got to just do what makes you happy. That's it. Like when people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, I don't want to be famous. I want to be happy. And whatever you want. So like you become a black belt because you enjoy jiu-jitsu, because you enjoy the lifestyle that it brings you. That's it. And I think people fight it so much. It's like, just do what makes you happy and the rest will happen. You're 40 years now. A lot of 20-year-olds like my age will be like, oh my God, I got to do this and that. And they run around like my life got to be like this. And no, slow down. Well, just do what makes you happy.
Exactly. 100%. So the other thing you kind of mentioned, somebody says you got to do this. Somebody says you need more. You're taking outside feedback versus your own internal feedback. You yourself need to know what you need. If you need to be a doctor, if you need to be a millionaire, then that's what you feel. Cool. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's your mother, if it's your friends, if it's your whatever, hey, you need this and that, that's outside feedback, which I'm open to hearing. But what really trumps anyone else's feedback is my own. If I feel that I'm good, I'm good. If this person's like, nah, you need to do this, you shouldn't be a busboy, you need to be the manager versus whatever. It's like, you know what? I go to work fulfilled. I go happy. So another thing, think about it, like in the jiu-jitsu sense, I've competed at the IBJJF Worlds level numerous years in a row. I competed at the Worlds level, never won once. I'm not a world champion by any means. I've never been on the podium, first, second, or third place in the world's divisions, in Black Belt Worlds. So the funny thing is, somebody commented on one of my things. If you go through my social media and you go through the years, anytime I'm at Worlds, I have the biggest smile on my face that anyone at Worlds would have. And the trippy part is, they're like, oh, look at you, you're doing so great. You must have, what, did you get gold, silver? What did you get? I was like, oh, I didn't place at all. And they're all like, well, why are you so happy? It's like, because I'm doing what I love to do. Like, truly, I'm here competing with the best. Next to me is Marcelo Garcia. There's Buchecha. There's Rafa Mendez. There's these huge celebrities of the game. Mm-hmm. And I'm rubbing elbows with them. And I'm right next to them. I'm not anywhere near their level. And if we went toe-to-toe, they would destroy me. But the fact that I'm in the ring with that badass guy. Yeah, I lasted 2 seconds. And he tapped me out like the most embarrassing submission I've ever had in my life. Whatever it is. You know.
But he is a celebrity. So it makes sense. Yeah.
If you got punched in the face by Mike Tyson, it's kind of like, dude, are you okay? Is one aspect. The other side is like, dude, you got hit by Tyson. So that's where I'm at. I'm on the side where it's like, I'm in Vegas competing at the top level. I mean, you could look at it as like, yeah, but you lose every time. Whatever. What are you doing?
It's kind of funny because it's like you lose facing champions, but you're winning because you're getting to face champions.
I'm doing what I love.
It's ironic.
And I get to do that for a living. I get to do jiu-jitsu. Win or lose, I'm doing what I love to do. You know, so that's what it's all about. It's happiness. So it's like, oh, you're going to compete next year? You can't seem to win. Hell yeah, I'm going to compete next year. This is fun. This is great.
Oh, I love that. It's ironic because it's like when you talk to people who maybe like in your same age group, people who haven't been successful, it's like, oh, I want to be successful. But once you've made it successful, it's like, this is it. And all it is to be successful is be happy. So it's like, yeah, I'm just competing. And again, life goes on. So you're 40 now, but you have like, what, 40, 80, and 40, 50, 60 years left. It's like, what are you going to keep doing? Just going to keep competing, just keep hanging with family, just keep doing what I love. And like, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no secret to it. It's just do what you love and just be around who you love and enjoy life. And I love that because I think people our age don't hear that as often anymore. We might have got saturated with social media and it's just like constant get after it. Go do this and do that. It's like, I am already doing it. So stop telling me to keep getting after it. Right. Just tell me to keep enjoying life. Like what? Maybe I want to travel more. Maybe I need to take a break because some people take a break for a year and then it actually helps and propel them to do more in their life instead of because people get burnt out. Like life happens, things happen, and you can't constantly keep going the grind, the hustle 24/7. Like for instance, if you did jiu-jitsu 24/7, you might burn out and then you won't be able to compete with these champions. You'll be too tired, too stressed out. You won't have time for your family. Family might leave. It's like, no. There is a line and we have to find it. Now, I'm curious, how do you find that balance? Like maybe before you might have been trying to train BJJ for so long, but then you came to a point where like, no, this is important. This is important. And how do you let that thoughts like, hey, I'm not doing enough, leave? Like, is it like a meditation? Like what did you do?
Well, so there's a few different ways, but again, it all goes back to you got to listen to your own self, your own soul, your own body. You know yourself better than anybody else. You are your best. So you got to listen to that. But at the same time, I've had my own moments where my balance was a little off. So if I'm really focusing on jujitsu, I lose focus over here. If I'm really focusing on money, whatever it is, there's different things. So my wife has been one of my great advocates for this, where she's so simple. Some of the things she'll say to me, but they're so impactful. So for example, I'll never forget the time she said, and I can't remember the exact scenario it was in regards to, but it was along the lines of, let's say, I don't know, 10-time world champion jiu-jitsu guys holding a seminar down the street. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to go to the seminar. I want to learn from the best. This and that, this guy's amazing. Happens to fall on the same day that's her birthday or a wedding anniversary or something of that nature. So, and I'm over here registering for the event thinking like, oh my God, this is great. And then she would say something just so simple along the lines of like, you know, you can do whatever you want. You're your own person, obviously. But her words was, just be careful on who you disappoint.
Ooh.
And then it's like, oh,
ooh,
be careful who you disappoint. Because here I am, I could disappoint Marcelo Garcia that I didn't show up to a seminar. I could disappoint myself that I missed that seminar. Or I could disappoint my wife, who I go home to every night, sleep in the same bed with every night. I'm going to be with this person. I'm going to see Marcelo once every 10 years. I'm going to see.
Yeah.
But so just be careful who you disappoint. And then she left it at that and just kind of like, you know, but you can make your own decision. And I was like, damn.
Wait a minute.
That's like your parents like saying like, oh, I'm so mad at you versus like, I'm disappointed in you. Then it's like, oh, that's like one of those like, oh, moments. So yeah, she'll say things like that. So there's times where even me, I think I'm going the right direction. She'll put me in my place. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? That's just a seminar. I could miss a seminar. This is our moment together. This is our 10-year anniversary. Why would I miss that? You know, this and that. So be careful who you disappoint. That was like such a huge thing. And I'll never forget things like that. So yourself, you got to know yourself. You got to know your limits. But at the same time, always be open to other people. And if someone's saying, hey, dude, you're messing up, you can look at it and look at it and be like, well, am I messing up? Or you can look at it and be like, actually, you're right. I am messing up. And just, you know, gauge your own self. But you yourself are going to be your own critic.
Another important point you pick up on is that you have to decide. So for instance, like you can get that response and be like, okay, well, like I spend time with you all the time, but this is the one moment I need, or you're right, I don't spend that much time. And this is an important moment. We need to do it. You have to decide what is really important in your life. And that's key. And I think some people have a hard time deciding what really is important. So how did you decide what is important for you? And then you decided decisions based upon it. Like what makes you happy? What matters to you? How did you decide that?
Well, I'm not perfect. And every decision I've ever made has not been the perfect one. Trial and error is going to be your best instructor. But it all just goes back to, you know, your own true happiness and your own true self. If this is what makes you happy, this is what you need to be doing. If that over there does not make you happy, then you probably shouldn't be doing that. It's kind of as cut and dry as that. If it makes you happy, do it. If it doesn't, don't. Now, there are, you know, fine lines to that. So if something doesn't make you happy, but the end result of that something is the part that will make you happy. So for example, I didn't like working whatever this job was, but because I worked that job, I was able to get to this place, or I was able to get to that goal, whatever. So you know what? Sometimes you got to take the hit, because the ultimate true happiness is on the other side. But again, it's all about balance. So I'm not a fan of the people who play it by the rules in the sense of education and jobs. So for example, you go to school, you get good grades, you go to college, you get good grades, you get placed into a job, that job, you get a promotion, and that promotion, you get, you know, get hired here. And then you work your way up the ladder, you're paying off your student debts. And then you're going up the ladder. And then now you've made it, but you're 70 years old. So where was the gamble that you played this game so safe all the way up to 70? And now that you're 70, you're like, now I'm going to live my life. I'm going to go on cruises and trips and travel the world at 80 years old. It's like, yeah, but your life is at the tail end. So yeah. There's the balance to where you have to decide, is this path right for me? And some people, they want to play the safe game and they want to play that world. And that's to each their own, for sure. But for me, for example, I had my own happiness goals and my own vision of what happiness truly was. And I went for that, and it wasn't the most popular route. But to get to where I'm at now, I want to make sure that everyone, whoever's listening here, knows that this wasn't a free ride to get to where I'm at now.
Of course not. No.
To get to where I was, I had the passion of, I was doing jiu-jitsu and MMA. I was fighting a little bit in the cage here and there, octagon stuff, where it required a lot. But in order to do that, the pay was not there. When you're coming as an amateur fighter, especially in jiu-jitsu as well, there's no pay. You win Pan Ams, you win Nationals, you win Worlds, there's zero pay. There's no money in this.
That's wild. So, how do you sustain yourself? Is it?
So there's the balance. I'm working this job to fund that life. Now, if I work 5-6 days a week so I can train 1 or 2 days a week, that's not balance, right? So you have to have the balance to where I work this amount and I play this amount and it's equal to where my happiness and my work ethic and my happiness ethic equals out. So some people that work Monday through Friday, 40 plus hours a week, just so they can relax Saturday, Sunday, that's not balanced to me. I can't do that. I cannot work Monday through Friday. That's 5 days just so I can relax Saturday, Sunday to have 2 days off. That doesn't work for me. I can't do it. So you have to find a way. Now, in order to get there, obviously you got to take some hits. So on my progress up to where I'm at now, not saying I'm king of the world, but I've lived in my friend's basement for some time. I was not, you know, homeless or anything, but I've bounced around. I was like, hey, you know, I'm kind of out this place. My rent was up and I can't keep it going. Do you mind if I stay at your place on your couch for a little bit? And, you know, I worked my way through just making life work to pursue the dream of being an MMA fighter, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu all-star, whatever it was. And then later, you know, you start to kind of make ends meet. You start to get some better, you know, things happen in your life. But in the beginning, as you're struggling, you are going to struggle. And some people are handed a silver spoon, great. And others have to work their way up. I definitely struggled and and had to make my life what I wanted it to be. But I never cried about it. I never, you know, like, oh, this is, that guy over there has it all and I have nothing. That's not going to do me any good. That doesn't do anybody any good. You want that? Go get it. It takes that to go get that. Let's do that so I can have that. And it's that simple.
Okay, so let's dive into that, what that is. Like, so what is the work? How many hours did you put? What sacrifices did you make? Because there are moments when there's different seasons in our life. So we have the getting after it, then we have the enjoying it. So how many years maybe did it take? How many hours did you put in? What sacrifices did you make to get to the life you have now?
Let's use jiu-jitsu for the example here. Jiu-jitsu, you can get a black belt in jiu-jitsu in no time at all, or you could go a route where it takes you 20 plus years to get a black belt. It all depends on the school and the training and how much effort you put in and the instructor and all that. There's a lot of factors that go with it, but I could have gone to McDojo R Us and, you know, pay the dude.
Sure, black belt. I love it.
Right. But, you know, but then what kind of black belt am I? What am I proud to be wearing that? Am I proud to be who I am? Am I this and that? Versus I went the long route and I earned my way. I did have to, you know, jump here and there from time to time. Like I said, I trained with the Gracie family for many years. And then at about the mid-range purple, I was like a purple, maybe two-stripe purple belt. I went back to the Novo Uniao guys with the BJ Penn brothers and Leandro Niza from Brazil. And I, you know, there's a little bit of a little gray area to where it's like, what's right for me? What's the best option I should take? And you got to make some tough decisions, but it all boils down to what makes you happy. Where's your happiness? That I'm happy. Over here, I'm grinding. They're both developing me great, but where am I truly happy? So I had to go with that. As far as hours go, you get back what you put in. If I put in an hour a week, I'm going to be that good. If I put in 40 hours a week, I'm going to be that good. So it all depends on where you want to be and how much effort you got to put into the game.
Exactly. That's beautiful. Because I interviewed someone from under Game Dev Podcast where they said, you know, it's just about the hours you put in. So if you're comparing yourself to other people, it's just like, hey, sure, they might be really good, but they put in like hundreds of hours and maybe you just started and you've only put 1 hour in. You can't compare yourself to these people because they're just different time periods, different hours. Like, so take where you are and compare yourself to who you were yesterday.
Exactly.
So yeah. So
compare yourself to anyone else other than yourself. That's it. You get it.
And so then, for instance, when you're taking feedback from coaches, how do you ensure that you're actually improving, and how do you prevent yourself from staying complacent?
That's a tough one because you yourself are also your worst critic. You're always so, like in the weight loss game, for example. You're trying to lose weight. You're going to the gym. You're on the treadmills. You're dieting, this and that. You're the last person to see any results. Everyone else is going to be like, dude, you look good. You look great. And you're looking at yourself like, what are you looking at? But so again, you're the last person. So you got to just trust the grind. You got to trust the process. I'm training. Whether I feel like I'm getting better or not, I'm training. So by default, if you keep training, whether you feel like you're getting better or not, you're getting better. You're training. You have to be training blind and completely just oblivious for you not to get any better. If you're training 10 hours a week, you're going to get better, whether you feel it or not. So you just got to trust that process.
That's the key. I've heard that a lot. Trust the process. It's like, yes, just believe, like, you've made a plan. Just trust it. It's going to take some time, but like, again, do what makes you happy. So like, if you're not happy outside of the process, then like, you got to fix that too. So it's like, you could put 24 hours of work into the day, but like, if you're not happy outside of the work, then what are you doing? Because if you, even if you make it to success, like if you make it to, you live in Hawaii, black belt, chilling in life, but if you're not happy where you are now, how are you sure you're going to be happy when you make it? Like, how do you know? Like, a lot of people talk about making that goal, but I've also seen from like watching YouTube videos, listening to celebrities, sometimes when they do make it to their goal, they're not actually happy because the goal wasn't what's going to make them happy. They need to make themselves happy inside. So like, how do you know that what you're doing is the right path? How do you know that what you're going to get to is going to make you happy?
And you don't. You kind of
don't. Yeah, you don't.
On my path, I've been many different roles. I've been in this life. I thought I wanted to be a mechanic. I wanted to be the fastest.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. Fast
and Furious was out. I had a Honda that made the cover of Honda Tuning Magazine. I had a set.
No way, really?
Car shows. What? I thought I was going to be a car guy. Mm-hmm. That changed. There was a small part of my life where music was just the thing, and I wanted to be a DJ. And I had two Technics and a Vestax mixer, battle mixer, and I was learning how to scratch and mix and this and that. And that was a short-lived life. But then you realize I don't want to do this. And then, so I think what happens, you know, like you start DJing and then you realize you don't play with your music. You start playing requests. Well, can you play the Justin Bieber song? You know, I don't want to listen to that, but it's not about you. So then it changes. And I thought I wanted to be a personal trainer. So I got certified. I got a personal certification.
All the way too with some of these things.
Oh yeah. I'll go the distance just to find out, like you said, the grass isn't as green as I thought it was over there, because I thought personal trainer, you're going to get the chicks. You're going to work in the gym. You're gonna get this prestigious, oh, he's a personal trainer. Ooh, I want to get some of that and this and that. And then you get there and you realize, I don't like doing that either. there was one summer I wanted to be a lifeguard, because obviously what? Baywatch and girls just come running up to you and they're slow motion running down the beach. And I thought,
yeah,
that was
of course, yeah.
Right? So I became a lifeguard. I went to the training. I got certified. I went to a lifeguard. And then you realize you sit in a chair staring off into space for hours at a time. And it's not Baywatch. It's not what the movies make it out to be. So when you get the title of certified personal trainer, lifeguard, DJ, you know, all these different things that I thought my life was going to be, and then you come to find out this isn't it at all. So again, you don't know. Go what you think is going to be it. And then when you get there, then make the decision. I thought I wanted to be, you know, what, maybe in someone else's case, a doctor. Come to find out, I don't like looking at everyone's infected toenails and, you know, whatever. That's not my gig.
That's not my too.
The doctor status with the doctor's pay and the doctor's car, but they don't want the job of being a doctor, things like that, you know?
You know, the crazy thing is they want the, what's the right word for this? They want the gratification. They want everybody else to say, hey, you're the best, you're a doctor. And then it's only like maybe 5 minutes out of your lifetime of like, wow, you did this. And then nobody cares anymore. And it's like, I don't know why we value so much. I mean, I get why back then it was like, if you're doing something right, you're moving forward in life. But we've gotten to a point now where in our society, it's just like, it doesn't really matter. Just do what you love. If people don't like it, that's kind of their problem. I mean, maybe because they didn't do what they love, so they want to tell you, you know, crap on you for that. But just do what you love. Do we have enough resources now? It's like, do what you love. Make sure your kids do what they love. And, you know,
it's so simple. So the fun parts in my time is when, let's say we get together in a group setting and we're in some, I want to say this happened once, to be more specific, at the Four Seasons, which is a very prestigious resort here, the Four Seasons Hotel. It's very uppity, this and that. Kevin Hart was studying in a room over here with Dwayne Johnson. They were doing a film with Jack Black here, and it was a big whatever. And this, and everyone comes together and is like, oh, what do you do? It's like, I'm a movie producer. Oh, what do you do? I'm a doctor. Oh, I'm a lawyer. I'm a this. And there's like all these prestigious things. And then they came around to me. I was like, what do you do? So I, instead of me trying to be on their level,
gotcha.
I just purposely was like, I work in a gym. What do I care?
I love that. That's
like, why am I trying to be who you are trying to be? Like, I work in a gym. But then when the conversation's late on and the evening gets on and, you know, people start releasing more information, That doctor is going through a divorce. That lawyer just lost his whatever. This guy hates his life. That guy is unhappy. And the guy who works in a gym, happiest guy in the room. So it's like,
oh, that's beautiful.
You got the mansion. You got this, you got that. I don't have any of those things. But look who's the happiest person in the room.
And it's all that matters. Wow. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. I never thought I'd hear somebody say, oh, I'm in a room with Kevin Hart, Dwayne Rock Johnson, and I was just the happiest guy in the room, probably.
I was.
And again, that's all that matters. Because that's why you're trying to be successful. At the end of the day, when people say, like, hey, I want to get this goal, at the end of it, you're trying to be happy. That's really it. And so maybe you have to realize, like, wait, maybe art, you are happy. Because I've had like personal thoughts and about stuff. And I realized, like, for the most part, I've been pretty happy with everything. And yeah. So like, what am I shooting for? I just want to improve on myself, these are my personal goals and stuff. But like, I don't need anything else from outside opinion. I don't, like, who cares what they think? They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know what's happening in my life. Exactly. So same for you. It's like, sure, there are lawyers, doctors hanging out with Kevin Hart and Dwayne Rock Johnson, but they're unhappy. And maybe they're happy for this one night, but for you, you're happy every night. You're happy. You're doing what you love. And that's being successful, in my opinion. I don't know about other people, but for me, being happy all the time is just my ideal of success.
Well, that's it. Everyone's happiness is different. So some people's version of happiness is that big body Mercedes Benz or $1 million in their bank account. Mm-hmm. If that's what makes you happy, then more power to you. Go get it, bro. But for me, just me personally, I wake up, like, I'm in Hawaii, so you can call it
Hawaii's paradise. A beautiful place.
So I wake up in paradise, okay?
Exactly.
I wake up, I make a cup of coffee, I go surf. As I'm done surfing, I go to the gym and I teach a couple of jiu-jitsu classes. Maybe I have a private client or maybe whatever I'm helping. So I get to do what I love doing, jiu-jitsu. I love it. So I wake up in paradise, have a cup of coffee, go surf a few good waves, Hawaii-style waves, go to do some jiu-jitsu. And then come home and my kids over here like, daddy, I love you. And my wife's like, hey, I made dinner. I don't care how much money's in my bank. That is the happiest I could possibly be. I mean, there's no dollar amount anyone could pay me to change my life. Cause I live in a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. I would say the home that I have now, it would probably be like one of the smallest homes you could find in Jacksonville. Cause you know, Hawaii, the price of paradise.
Yeah.
Besides the small environment I live in, the quality of my life trumps all of that. So that guy with a mansion down the street, who his wife is cheating on him, his kids hate him, he's this and that, whatever. He's got a mansion. He's driving a Mercedes. He's got $1 million in the bank. But how's your life? Mm. You know, how was your morning? How was your day? How much stress are you carrying on your shoulders on a daily basis? How much are you thinking about work right now? How much are you thinking about your bills? I don't think about any of that stuff, man. Like, I'm truly happy. And it took me a long time to get here, but I can honestly say that I am truly happy. And that's all that, to me personally, and everyone has their own opinion, to me, that's what life is all about. If you're happy, you made it. If you're unhappy, you have the ability to fix it. You can bitch and moan and cry about it. Oh, this guy's got more money than me. I don't have any money. She hates me. He doesn't like me. You can fix all of it. You are in control of your own life. Just fix it, man. If you're not happy, go fix it. If you're happy, run with it. Just do it. Because we're all, like I said, we're all going to die. This is all going to be over. This is temporary. Everything we're doing right now is temporary.
Exactly.
Nobody has beaten that fact.
Mm-hmm. It's like playing a game like Monopoly, right? So you can spend your time collecting all the properties, doing all your things. But at the end of the day, even if you win, it's all going to go back in the box. Like the game will end eventually. And none of that will matter because then the new game will start and then you have to start from scratch. Like, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished. All that matters is if you enjoyed it while you were playing, if you enjoyed the journey. So I also want to dive deep into like your skills. And so like, how could someone who say that wants starting out jiu-jitsu, and it might not even just be jiu-jitsu, like life itself, like maybe they want to do programming or they want to do music or they want to do art or whatever they want to do. How could you go from like white belt to like black belt? Like, what were some things you did to help you like learn the skills, you know, master them, do all these things?
I use every outlet possible, and that even in itself can be frowned upon. Some jiu-jitsu studios, for example, are very, you're my student. I don't want to catch you going to any other schools. I don't want you learning from other instructors because you're on my path and I want you doing this and that. And I'm not a fan of that myself. And some people, they have names for it. In jiu-jitsu, Brazil, the guys, they have the name called crianche, which is kind of like, it means traitor, where let's say I'm training under this guy for so many years, and then I switch branches, and now I'm training under that guy. And now when I win a medal, I'm like, hey, I want to say thanks to my instructor, this guy, but I totally ditched the guy I've been training with 10 years prior, things like that. So it's kind of like there's different terms for it, but it all just kind of goes back to I'm open to any source of input. So if you learn some moves off of YouTube, I learned something. If I got a book from Barnes & Noble that had some new setup I never seen before, I learned something. If a white belt comes in and shows me something I've never seen before, I'm not going to turn that away. I'm into it. So I'm open to any avenue possible, whatever it is. So if you're trying to get good at playing guitar, you can go take guitar lessons. You can, you can go open up YouTube, go grab a book, go ask your neighbor, whatever, anything. So if your goal is to achieve this and there's 15 different ways to get there, take all 15 of them. Why not? It's like, no, I'm going to go to this school and learn that guy's system. Well, why not also do that?
I'm curious. So, like, is there a moment where you feel like you have to rush? Because, like, I know, like, now you feel, like, you know, happy and stuff. But, like, is there a moment back then when you're younger where, like, oh, I got to get there. Like, I don't have enough time. Because I feel that at this age where I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not there yet. And then slowly I'm trying to realize, like, it's okay. Just take your time. Like, you'll get there eventually. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest moments that for me was my blue to purple belt. I was a blue belt, and I just, for some reason, I felt that I was a purple belt. I was tapping out all the other blues. I was even catching some purples and uppers, and here I was like, why am I not getting my purple belt? I need to be a purple. I want my purple belt. I got it. And I was just, it was eating away at me. And then it, you know, everyone's like, oh, just enjoy the ride. It's not the destination. It's the journey, this and that. And you're like, ah, screw you, man. I want my damn purple belt. Like, I'm not listening to anything you're saying. I want my purple belt and I'm not getting it. And it's pissing me off. And that happens. And it does. But like we say, and you get it once you get there. Once you get there, you look back and you realize, you know what? It's not the destination. It is the journey. It's enjoy the moment in the time of the moment versus, you know. So, but sometimes you just got to get there and then reflect and be like, shit, they were all right. Even though in the moment, I just was not like trying to hear it. They were right. So another thing that you'll hear a lot is black belt. When you get to black belt, you start all over again, or it's the beginning, or it's like the beginning of your journey. Everyone's like, but to anyone who's not a black belt does not understand that. I didn't understand that. They're like, whatever, black belt's the goal. Once you get to black belt, you got it. You're done. Yeah. But that's truly not it. And until I was a black belt, that didn't make sense to me. And I was like, whatever, that's BS. Give me my black belt. But I want to be a black belt because I'm king of the world, this and that. So somebody put it into perspective of, for example, school. So let's say from white to blue, that's progression. Blue to purple, purple to red, that's progression. But look at it in school. If you go from kindergarten to elementary school, you're in elementary school, you go to middle school. Middle school, you're now in high school. Like, when you're in high school, you've got to enjoy high school. High school is where it's at, man. Like, when you're in middle school, you got to, because you're never going to get that time back. You're never going to be in elementary school again. Once you're past that, you're past that. You're never going to be. So enjoy each moment for what it is, because once you're done with high school or college or however much education you want to go with, once you're done with that, now you're in the real world. Nobody cares what you did in the 11th grade. Nobody cares what you did in the 7th grade. Nobody cares. So once you get to black belt, nobody cares about what you did at blue belt. Nobody cares about your purple belt. So at black belt, that's when life begins, because your schooling is done. Schooling's done.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Now that I'm done with college, I got my black belt. I got my degree. I got my master's degree, whatever it is. Now let's go live life. I've never lived life before. I've always been in a dorm in college and high school and living, you know, that life. But now I'm on my own. I have a mortgage. I have a car payment. I have insurance payments. I have cell phone bills. I have real shit. Life just hit when you got out of school. So everyone that's so focused on the journey, white belt, blue belt, purple belt, that shit actually doesn't even matter. Once you get to black, that's when the journey begins, because nobody cares about all that other stuff. It's now it begins. Now I can stop worrying about belts. I can stop worrying about graduating the 10th grade. I don't need to worry about that anymore. Now I need to worry about life. So now that you're a black belt, now what? And then it's like, oh shit, now this, because we don't care about belts anymore. We got the belt that we wanted. So now what? Now let's just keep learning, keep developing, get the timing right, get the skills right.
You know what's funny? It's basically just doing what you've always done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, you got it, but like, just keep learning, keep doing, keep training, keep. So it's crazy because like for someone to hear that, they're like, oh, but like, well, like if it doesn't matter, then why even do it? It was like, no, you need to learn to at least get to that, you know, point. But then still, it's like, it's the same thing you've always been doing. So just enjoy all of it. Stop trying to rush it.
Goes back to the happiness part to it. Why do it? Because I'm loving it in the process. I loved the 9th grade. That shit's over. I love the 10th grade. Okay, that shit's over. I love the you know, 12th grade.
Yeah.
College was amazing. That's over. I'm not going to go back, but it was amazing. Now, for you to just constantly be like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a doctor. Doctor, doctor, doctor. Every step on the way to doctor, you're missing it.
Exactly. Like it said from the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, life happens so fast. If you don't take a second to stop and look around, you'll miss it. Like, boom. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy your life.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And then that's what also makes you really good too. Like there's no mistake that you're a black belt for a reason. There's no mistake you get to surround yourself with, like when you're in that event with Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. There's no reason. You put in the work. There's a reason why it happened. But you also enjoyed every moment. Like you didn't think to yourself, oh my gosh, I made it. You're probably like, this is another day of my amazing life because I'm happy. Because right. I'm doing what I'm doing. It's crazy to think. Because it's interesting because you could ask me 2 years ago and I'd be like, oh, you got to do the grind 24/7. We'll get there. But after talking with people and starting these two different podcasts I have now, it's like everyone I've listened to has always told me like, hey, just enjoy the journey. To get there, it takes so much time. Why rush it? Like, and also to get to flow state, to get into moments where you actually do learn things, you have to be patient. You have to sit there for 4 hours and solve a problem. You have to sit there and be like, okay, why did I fail at these matches? How can I improve? Like, you have to sit there and it's going to take time. You have to sit with days when things are bad. You have to sit there. Like, there are moments when things aren't going to go right. And that's okay because it's part of the journey. I'm doing what I love. I'm happy. I'm learning. I'm growing. That's it. It's crazy that people are trying to make life so difficult, but it's like it's so simple. And it's the same thing with like losing weight. It's like all you got to do is work out and eat like healthy. There's nothing complicated about it. You can make it complicated. I got to count calories, got to count this. But like at the end of the day, it's just a few simple things you got to do and just do it consistently. And that's it. That's life.
That's the secret sauce to life that is so easy that other people just can't seem to grasp. It is really that easy. Mm-hmm. Life is not that hard.
It's not. It's really not. Like it's weird because like I talk to CEOs now because this podcast, and I'm like, when I was 12, I was like, CEOs were like, wow. And now I'm like, some of them are my friends, and it's like,
cool, huh?
What? But again, it's not that hard. You just say, hey, what's up? And then they're doing what you're doing. They're just farther in life than you are. They had a vision. They executed on it. And now they're CEO of it. And then they're like, hey, like, and they want to share their story. They're like, hey, like, I did it. I made it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm just doing what I love. And I'm like, oh, you're right. And same with you and same with everyone else. And that's why I even started this podcast and everyone, my friends and I, it's because like we want to share our knowledge and experience and or from other people and give it to us and to everyone else in our age gap. It's like, hey, you can do it too, but it takes time, patience, persistence, and also just enjoying what you love. This has been amazing. And so like, I don't know how much time you have left, but I would like you got all day.
I got a few more minutes here. I gotta pick up my kids soon, so I'm okay. I'll let you know when there's like a 5-10 minute warning here.
Okay, because I just wanted to dive deep more into jiu-jitsu because I feel like we've talked about the secret sauce, which is beautiful. And I love that, but like I also want to get more into jiu-jitsu. So like, let's talk about like for instance, saying someone who's you know doing jiu-jitsu and stuff. How can we progress as a student in jiu-jitsu? Like, so let's get more and more technical. Like, how do you get from hey, I'm a white belt, and sure, forget about the belts, but like, how can I actually improve my skills? Should I watch videos? Should I go to different gyms? Should I just consistently do the same technique 2 hours every day? Or like what was your process to get to where you are now?
So I look at, there's a few different ways I could answer that. So first off, when it comes to getting better at a technique or when it gets better to just being better at jiu-jitsu, you're always going to default to what you're good at. So if I'm a guard player, my first thing is I'm going to try to pull guard. I'm going to get you in my guard because I'm good in the guard. Why wouldn't I? That's my game. I'm a guard player or I'm a passer, whatever it is. So if that's the case, you're actually stumping your learning and growth because you're only playing what you're already good at. So what used to drive me nuts is, for example, I couldn't get out of a triangle to save my life. I think I was a blue or purple at the time. And anytime someone just began to get a triangle on me, guarantee I'm going to tap to this. We're not even down that road yet, but it's going to happen. I just know I am. So when my instructor saw that, he was like, from now on, every time you start a roll, start in a triangle. And I'm just like, why? I'm just going to tap. Like, as soon as my arm gets inside and you got your leg on my neck, it's the end of the road. He's like, just do it. So every time I was like, hey, what's your name? You want to roll? Okay, let's go. And here's a triangle. Let's start here. Tap. Okay, let's go again. Hey, you want to roll? Tap. I was like, this is bullshit. My instructor hates me. He just wants to see me tap all day. But what he was doing was he was putting me in situations that I'm not good at. He's putting me in places that are not comfortable. He's getting me out of my comfort zone. He's putting me where I need to develop. So if I kept playing my game as a half guard player, I love the half guard, so I'm going to pull half guard. But he's like, no, I want you to play this instead. It's like, I don't like that. But that's growth. Growth comes out of the comfort zone. So you got to put yourself out of there. So another example is I hated the butterfly guard. I thought butterfly guard was the dumbest guard in the world because I have no control of you. My legs are not around you. I'm not hooking anything. I have no control of you. I'm just sticking my feet inside you. And that made no sense. So then his next thing was like, okay, every time you roll somebody, you have to start in butterfly guard. And I was like, well, I'll lose. It's like, exactly. And then let's fast forward years later. I am a triangle escape artist and butterfly is my jam. But in the learning process, I hated it. And I was like, why are you making me do this? This is horrible. I'm just going to tap. I'm going to lose. I can beat that guy with my eyes closed. But if you put me in a butterfly or triangle, he's going to tap me. That's embarrassing. It's like, no, just do it. So you got to get past the ego. You got to get past the comfort zone. And that's how you learn. Now, like you said, you can any aspect from an instructor telling you what to do. YouTube had a hint that I've never heard of. The guy said, put your foot here instead of there. I was like, well, I never heard that. Let's try it. But nothing beats live application. So if you're not going to open mats, if you're not rolling after class, if you're not calling your buddies up to just do a roll session and be like, hey, is this Saturday? You guys want to meet up at my house? I got a couple of mats in the garage. Let's just roll. Yeah, let's do it. Live application. So the way I've explained it to some of the kids that weren't really grasping this is let's take another sport, basketball. This ball goes in that hoop. Got that? The ball goes in the hoop. You put it in your hand, you throw it in the hoop. Everyone good? We're all good? We understand the game? You're all NBA All-Stars. Go. It's like, yeah, right. How about put this ball in that hoop while I'm in your face, while I'm trying to steal it from you? I'm trying to smack the ball out of your hand. So I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know the technique. But until somebody's grinding you back, you're never going to get good at it. So in jiu-jitsu sense, I know how to do an armbar from the guard. I can do a kimura from the whatever. But unless you got somebody fighting you back, really pushing you, you're not going to really learn it. So my biggest thing is live application. If you're not rolling, if you're not training hard, you're stumping yourself. So you gotta put yourself out there. Win or lose doesn't matter. You got to let your ego go because I'd roll with that guy, but he always beats me. So I'm not going to roll with that guy. I'm going to roll with this guy who I can always beat. Then what are you doing? Like, you're missing out. So you got to put your ego out. And you just got to let it go.
Yeah. No, people get comfortable. It's like, hey, I won. And I'm going to keep going where I win. But it's like, no, to really grow, to really become the best, you have to push yourself in situations where you will lose. Because when you lose, when you fail, is when you learn the most. And you learn you can handle it.
You either win or you learn. I'm sure you've heard that how many times?
Oh, multiple. Yeah. But no, it's great to hear from like considered a master, a black belt. Yeah. They're like, yeah, you win or you learn.
That's it.
And yeah, it's beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. And so then also, how do you learn in those moments? Like, how do you stay away from being comfortable? Do you have coaches or do you also in yourself be like, hey, today I'm going to do something I'm uncomfortable with? And that's my goal for today.
Yeah, for me, it was both. So for me, I knew what I had to do. As much as I didn't want it sometimes, I knew what I had to do. I do not want to be put in a triangle for another day in my life because I'm getting tapped left and right. But I know that's what I need. That's me myself. The other side of it was my coach telling me that. So my instructor saying like, hey, look, man, I know you can pass that guy's guard, but I want to put you in a triangle. It's like, but yeah, my goal is to win. Is your goal to win or is your goal to get better? Like if your goal is to win, why don't you just go roll in the kids class every day? Because you'll win every time. Right? Like, well,
it's true.
Why don't you just go roll with all the white belts? Because you're a champion for the rest of your life. So it's kind of like, well, cool. Mm. So what's the goal? Do you want to be a winner or do you want to learn and get better? So it's like, well, shit, that changes things.
That's wild to think because it's like but I want to win. It's like, well, yeah, eventually you will, but maybe really winning is about learning and facing defeat multiple times. Because the way you just said it can hurt, like, to some people. It's like, what do you mean I want to win? But yeah, you can win all the time if you're facing people who are below you, but there are always someone who's better than you.
Exactly.
And to truly win in what you think you're doing, like, it's just, it's to go out there and face the other people who are champions. Because life, there's so many people. It's just wild to think. Yeah. There's always someone better.
Bring it back to, there's always going to be someone better. So this brings it back to, what are you doing? Are you truly happy? So, right. So then I remember very vividly when I first got my black belt, within the first year of getting my black belt, I went to the Art of Jiu-Jitsu Costa Mesa, where six-time world champion at the time, Rafa Mendez, his brother Gui Mendez. Those guys are just badasses, right? But I'm thinking, I'm a black belt. I can hang with these guys.
Ooh, okay.
And I immediately found out that I cannot, that these guys are world-class competitors. They are amazing people. So that was a very humble moment to where, and actually somebody, let me throw this in there. Somebody said, when you get your black belt, you're actually now the white belt of black belts.
Ooh, okay.
Because every black belt in the room, let's say I'm in a room full of 50 black belts and I just got my black belt today. Everyone, he's been a black belt for 10 years. He's been a black belt for 7 years. He's been a black belt for a long time, whatever. And I just got my black belt. So I'm the white belt of black belts, right? So even though I'm king shit with a black belt around my waist, I'm actually nothing when I went to that school, when I went to the world champion school, when I went over there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a trip. So like, at what point is winning even a thing? Like, do I want to win? I want to beat that. I want to win. How about I want to just do jiu-jitsu? That's winning to me. Winning is I'm doing what I love to do with my life. That's a win. Like, everyone in the room for the last hour and a half tapped me out. I got caught in a triangle, kimura, americana. Everyone beat the shit out of me. But for an hour and a half, I was doing jiu-jitsu, which is my passion. So I was winning because I got to do what I love to do with my life for that hour and a half. Win or lose doesn't matter.
Wow. I think we should end it off on that. Win or lose doesn't matter as long as you're doing what you love. That's beautiful. I love it so much. Okay, so what we do for the Next Generation Revolution podcast is we'd like to ask you, the guest, imagine if you were like on a spaceship floating through the universe and there was a billboard, right? And the whole universe can see that billboard. What would you like let message your motto be on that billboard so the whole world can see it?
Choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Boom. Beautiful. I love it. Yeah, I bet your life, you're just like, when do I work? I never work. I'm just living.
Well, think of it this way. I do what I do, whatever I'm doing with my daily life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this and that. And for some reason, every Friday, I get a paycheck. And it's kind of like, what? Why? Okay, thanks, I guess. I was just doing jiu-jitsu and I was surfing and I was hanging out with us, and now you're paying. Oh, I mean, I'm not gonna say no, thanks. But mm-hmm. when you truly have a job that you love, it's not a job. That's not work. I don't go to work. I don't go to a boss that grinds me and I sit in traffic the rush hours. That's not a job. I don't go to work, right? I'm doing what I love to do. That's not work.
And also, like, for some people who do have that circumstance where they have a boss and job, sometimes that boss and job are your best friends. Sometimes that boss is like, hey, welcome to work, like, what's up, like, you doing good? And they're like, yeah, I got this work for you, like, awesome, cool, have a great weekend. Like, and then they're happy. There is no like, oh my god, I hate my boss, I hate my job. It's like, no, I'm just doing what I love, and this is the place where I do what I love, and then I go home and I do more things that I love. So like, yeah, find what you love, find the environment that treats you well, and enjoy your life.
That's it. That's all it is. That's all it boils down to. It is that simple. It is truly that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So thank you for coming on, Chris. It's been so much fun. Great catching up. You're talking about being happy, jiu-jitsu and life. And I want to hand the mic to you to end it off, doing the last minute shout outs, quotes, tips, whatever you want to end us off with. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. You've kind of said it all. I really don't have anything else to add to it. I mean, just like I said, do something that makes you, that feeds your passion, that feeds your fuel, that your fire. And if you find it, harness it and run with it. And if it's not it, or if it changes, don't be ashamed to change your course. Like I said, I was 15 different roles before I am what I am now. You got, mm-hmm. I thought I was this, come to find out I'm not. So don't be afraid to change gears. Don't worry about anyone else's opinions. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks about you or whatever. You yourself, you got to be with yourself full time. You're going to see that guy however many days a week. You're going to see this person, whatever. You got to be with yourself all the time. So if you're not truly happy inside, you got to fix that. You got to listen to yourself and just follow your path. Not everyone's meant to be a doctor. Not everyone's meant to be this and that. So find what like fuels your fire and just run with that, because this is all temporary.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. You can find all courses at gamedev.tv or in the show notes at a discounted price. Get started with your game development journey today.